Good to see you tonight. Thankful that we can be together in our worship to God and now our study from His Word. If you'd join me in the passage, we'll come back to that momentarily as we want to have the third and final part of the series on faith, hope, and love. As we have spent time, and it's been a while now since with the holidays and such, to come to this third part. So a brief review is in order. Just to remember that we first of all studied about the triumph of faith, hope, and love. Of course, building upon 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 13, now abides faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love never fails, as the text goes on to has described for us. So we talked about the triumph of faith, of hope, and of love in part one, and the impact and influence of faith, of hope, and of love in our second part. And our third part, we want to focus our attention upon what motivates faith and hope and love. We're going to be looking at passages that have all of these three words in them. We'll look at Hebrews, the 10th chapter, especially there in 22 through 25, to see the motivation of faith, the motivation of hope, and the motivation of love in that text. We're going to also look at reverence, the reverence of faith and hope and love, as we look at that in 1 Peter chapter 1, a passage there. And finally, we'll look at the rewards of faith, hope, and love from 1 Peter, the first chapter, and earlier in that text, verses 3 through 9. So, a simple outline, but to remind ourselves of this threefold cord that is not quickly broken, borrowing that idea from Ecclesiastes chapter 4, faith, hope, and love, when they are bound together, secure us, stabilize, and strengthen us, because, of course, faith pleases God. Without faith, it's impossible to be pleasing to God. Hebrews 11, verse 6. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him or diligently seek him. So faith is crucial if we're to please God at all. We must have it and understand what it is. Hope secures our faith. In fact, verse 1 says, faith is the substance of things hoped for. That is, hope rests upon our faith. They go together. As we trust and have confidence in the fact that God exists and He rewards those who seek Him, that we rely upon Him in our life, we put our faith in Him, that assures our hope. That supports the hope that we have, the expectation of future blessings, of future glory. And so without faith, we'd have no hope. They go together. Hope, faith secures our hope. Hope is secured by our faith, is what that should say. I kind of have that reversed there. But faith secures our hope, and love is to fill our heart. Romans 5 and verse 5 says that the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Hope, therefore, does not disappoint. Hope does not discourage. Hope, when we read about hope very often in the Scriptures, is connected with joy. Chapter 5 of Romans, verse 2, rejoicing in hope. We'll see that later in our study as well. So we put all these together, and we have these things that strengthen, hold us together in our daily life as Christians. So let's get specific. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10 and read that text again and see the applications of faith, hope, and love as described there. He says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So, first of all, we have the motivation of faith. Faith is motive, motive, it, motivates us to draw near to God. We have the ability to draw near to God through the blood of Jesus, but we have to put our faith and trust in that sacrifice of the blood of Jesus. And so he says, draw near, come close to God with a heart that is fully assured in faith. Back up to chapter 9, and we see this accessibility to be able to come near to God. We couldn't come near to God at all without the sacrifice of Christ. We can desire God, we can wish for God, we can want God, but without the blood of Jesus, we can't come near to God. Hebrews 9 and verse 14 says, "How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience?" That is, the blood of Christ cleanses our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. The high priest offers himself as the sacrifice. We studied that even this morning. So in chapter 12 and verse 24 then, he says, "We have come to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better than that of Abel." By faith, Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. Hebrews 11 and verse 4 says, "The sacrifice of Jesus is better still, the blood of the Son of God, sinless, without spot and blemish." By that we come near to God. Our faith focuses upon the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Without it, we can't come near to God. With that sacrifice, our sins are cleansed. Hebrews 10 says, 22. It's a reference to that cleansing power of the blood. And of course, that, as he speaks of pure water, he's speaking about the action of faith of being baptized for the remission of sins. Acts 22 and verse 16. "Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins." The blood of Jesus does that, but there's an act of faith by which it's accomplished. Trust that the blood of Jesus will draw us near to God. We have faith because we want to get close to God. The blood of Jesus accomplishes that. So, motivated to draw near to God, we have a hope to hold fast our confession. Let us then, verse 23, here's our motivation to have hope. To hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. We have hope because we trust the promise of God. God is faithful. God has promised eternal life. Titus 1 and verse 2. But now, our hope clings to that so that day by day, as we walk by faith, we are secured in the understanding that God is going to reward that confession of faith in our lives. Jesus said, "Whoever confesses me before men, I'll confess before my Father. And whoever denies me or is ashamed of me before men, I'll be ashamed of him before the Father and his angels." Mark 8:38 says. And so, throughout the book of Hebrews, we've already been studying this together in our class on Hebrews. Hebrews 3:6 says, "Christ is the Son over His house, whose house we are, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm to the end." Why have hope? Because we want to hold fast our confession. And it's because of a hope that we're able to do that. We're able to rejoice in that hope and cling to that hope. We have that goal set before us and that firm expectation. Because of the faith we have in God, because of the provisions He's made and the life we live in harmony with Him, to have that cleansing and to have that fellowship with Him in our lives. Again, in chapter 4 and verse 14, we have the high priest, and therefore we're to hold fast our confession. Again, in chapter 6 of Hebrews 9 through 12, he says, "Don't be lazy." Verse 12, "Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." But look at verse 11. "We desire that each of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end." Again, holding our assurance, holding fast our confession, not being lazy but diligent, is connected to hope. Repeatedly, he says, you have hope, so be diligent. Now, if I'm not being diligent, then I need to refocus my hope. I need to reestablish and recognize the expectation of reward that God has given us as we are faithful to Him. As we combine what we're looking to with our trust that God is faithful to provide it. Thirdly, we love, he says, our love should be prompted by a consideration of one another. In Hebrews 10 and 24, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So, thinking about others rather than ourselves is the essence of love. That has to take place for us to show love toward others. So, that consideration, he says, is amplified by our assembling together. Not abandoning our assembling, but exhorting one another. And so there's the exhortation daily to not fall away, not drift, to be diligent, to hold fast the confession, to draw near to God. All of those are expressions of love toward one another as we help and encourage each other to be faithful to the Lord. So, our motive for faith, we want to be close to God in our life. A motive for hope, but we want to hold fast what we professed. We want to hold fast to that which we anticipate through God's promises. And love, when we think about others, when we consider others instead of ourselves, that prompts treatment that is loving toward those around us. Look at 1 Peter 1 with me for a moment in chapter 1 of 1 Peter and verses 17 through 23. And as we read this, see if we can begin to see the picture of the reverence of faith, hope, and love. That when we hold faith, when we have hope, and when we live in love, that these are expressions of reverence toward God. He says in verse 17, if you call on the Father, who without partiality judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves through the time of your stay here in fear, knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish, without spot, who indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who through him believe in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. We see faith, hope, and love in that passage, and each of them are connected in one way or the other to an expression of reverence. Faith, verse 17, calls our attention to having reverence toward God in view of the judgment that He has planned. Now, we can go up a few verses, and that reverence is to be demonstrated by being holy as He is holy, as His children, to be obedient. So obedient children expresses respect, reverence for God, verse 14. Living in holiness also expresses that reverent holiness or reverence toward God. And now, verse 17, he says, remember that the Father is going to also judge you impartially. So, faith is about recognizing that we're going to be called to account. That we need to be obedient children. That we need to live holy lives. Because you see, without partiality, God's going to judge us. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Familiar with that teaching in 2 Corinthians 5, Paul connects it to faith. He said, we walk by faith, not by sight, verse 7 of 2 Corinthians 5. And so our aim is to please the Lord because we're going to give an account of the things done in the body. So
if we're going to live in love,
I'm sorry, live in faith,
we're going to have to respect the fact that judgment is coming. We're accountable. We're accountable beings. And so let's put our trust in the Father, obey His will as children, humble before Him, holy before Him, and prepare ourselves for the time when we will stand in judgment. As He said, conduct your time yourselves throughout the time of your stay here in fear,
in dread of displeasing God, because there is a day of judgment coming.
We will stand before Him and answer for our lives. 14 through 21, or 18 through 21, He talks about hope. That we need to continue to remember God. Note in verse 21, he brings up hope. He says, through Him who through Him believe in God, who raised Him from the dead and gave Him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. We need to remember God is the reason for our hope. Our hope is in God.
Now, you know, people put their hope in a lot of different things. Money, power, position, influence,
education, friends, family, self.
And yet the Bible teaches us repeatedly
that really our hope must be in God. And David in Psalm 39 and verse 7 simply said, and he'd been reflecting upon the brevity of life in this psalm and his need to be guarded in his life to avoid wickedness. He says, "Now, Lord, what do I wait for? My hope is in You."
The rich fool hoped in his treasures. That didn't help his soul. We hope in a lot of different things in life. But our hope must be in God.
We must remember God. And Peter says, if we're going to pass the time of our life in fear, we're going to have to remember the sacrifice of Christ, verse 19. And with faith in God, we believe in God. Now we are to hope in God. He has provided the expectation of a glory that's beyond this life. So reverence Him for that. Remember, God is the source of our hope. Thirdly, he says, love. Love fervently each other. Verse 22. See that? That because we are the children of God and we are to reverence Him, because God has made promises, and so our faith and hope, our hope is in Him.
Now, the love that we express is to really be a reflection of the love He's shown us. So when we love others, it's really an expression of reverence for God, of fearing God in our life. He says, love one another fervently with a pure heart. Now,
1 John 4, 20 and 21. John said, if anyone says, I love God and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he does not love his brother whom he has seen. How can he love God whom he's not seen? You see the connection between love and respect for God and love and respect for a brother? Can't love God and hate our brother. This commandment we have from Him, that he who loves God must love his brother also.
Must. There's a necessity of love that is born out of respect and reverence for God. Once we revere God, not only do we love Him, but we love His children. We love even our enemies, because God is love. He's shown us love in ourselves, toward us, in His Son. And so we are now to revere God by living that love toward everyone in our lives. So, the reverence of faith, of hope, and of love, combined with the motivations to draw near to God, to hold fast our confession,
and
to be considerate of others, stirring each other up, combines here now with the motive and the reverence that sustain a life of maturity as we look toward the rewards of faith, hope, and love. Let's go back to 1 Peter 1 and the first part of that chapter. Once more, we're going to see him talk about hope and faith and love. Let's pick up our reading in verse 3, and we're going to see the rewards attached to each of these. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, let's pause here a minute. He talks about the living hope. And we're going to come back to that in a moment and see the reward attached to that living hope. But now he says there's this inheritance, really, which is the reward. It's reserved in heaven. But now watch, who are kept guarded by the power of God through faith, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. We have the hope of inheritance, but our faith helps secure us, and it's the power of God through faith that guards us for that salvation that has not yet been revealed, but will be. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. You've been distressed in your life. Your faith has been put under pressure, he says. But he says, that's occurred that the genuineness of your faith, verse 7, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, your faith is more valuable than gold, than pure gold, than tried, tested gold, may be found to praise and honor and glory of the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Now he talks about faith several times in that verse. Faith guards our salvation. The goal of our salvation is at stake. He says God keeps us, verse 5, through faith, through His power, through faith, to obtain that reward. Verse 9, he says we receive the end of our faith. The goal of salvation is the end of our faith. Faith guards us. It purifies. It is purified by the testing of trials as we apply our faith, as we obey the Lord and trust Him. And furthermore, he says that faith brings praise and honor and glory to God. God is honored by our faith. The reward of having faith is to us, but it's also an honor to Him, to His praise and glory. So, to trust God, to revere God, to say, I want to go to heaven, I want this eternal inheritance, then we trust and follow His Word so that our hope is living. Verse 3. It's not dead. It's alive. It sustains our joy. And here's the point we were making earlier. We rejoice in hope. Romans 12, 12. Romans 5 and verse 2. Hebrews 3 and verse 6 talks about the joy, rejoicing in hope. The reward of hope is this life that brings us ultimately to the eternal joy, the eternal anticipated inheritance. Love, he says, the reward of love is to abide with God forever. That's the reward. He says, look, we haven't seen Him yet, but we love Him. Well, that's our faith at work, right? We don't see Him, yet we believe Him because we anticipate an eternity with Him. Jesus said, if anyone loves Me, he'll keep My word. And My Father will love him. We'll come unto him and make our abode with him. That
abode with the Father and the Son is not just now, it reaches into eternity. So that when Christ returns, we'll receive the end of our faith, the realization of our hope, the enduring nature of our love toward God, because God has loved us and we in turn love Him by living a life of faith and a sustained life of hope for a resurrection from the dead unto eternal life. And so, turn with me finally to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Although faith is not specifically named here, we see it in the text along with hope and love. Verse 28 says, "Now little children, abide in Him." Now here's faith at work in 28 and 29. "Little children, abide in Him, that when He appears, you may have confidence and not be ashamed of Him before Him at His coming." So we don't want to be ashamed before Him. We want to be abiding in Him. What does that mean? Verse 29, well, if you know that He's righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of Him. So if we'll practice righteousness, here's the exercising of faith. Trusting God, following His Word, living righteously. He says, we'll have confidence when Jesus returns. Now verse 1 of chapter 3. "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called children of God. Therefore the world does not know us, because it does not know Him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure." So with the faith to practice righteousness, and with the love that God has shown us and given to us to be called His children, our hope leads us to purify ourselves. He says, everyone who has this hope, what hope? The hope to be as He is. That when He's revealed, we'll be like Him, and with Him we'll share in His glory. So what do? We purify ourselves now, just as He is pure. And so you have the faith to purify ourselves because of the hope we have in the future, because God has loved us so that He calls us His children. That He has accepted us in Christ Jesus as the children of God. We've been born again, born anew, born from above. And so faith to practice righteousness, hope that leads us to purify ourselves, to examine our lives, to repent and put sin away as we live in the love of God as His children. And now abide faith, hope, love, these three. The greatest of these is love. May we ever abide in faith until faith becomes sight. Walk by faith until it becomes sight. May we ever hope until that hope is realized, fulfilled, when Jesus comes, so that we will enter the eternal home where love will endure forevermore. May God bless each of us to walk in faith, to rejoice in hope, and to abide in the love of God. If you're not a Christian, we urge you to become one tonight, to begin a life of faith, to live, have a living hope, to anticipate and live for something more than the here and now, because all this is going to pass away, and to be sustained in the love of God with reverence, be an obedient child of His, repent, be baptized for the remission of your sins, be saved by the Lord, to repent of sins as His people, to turn back to Him in righteous living, to confess our sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to show the way to heaven, to live with faith, to walk by faith, to rejoice in the hope that we have of the eternal inheritance, loving God each day. If we can help you do that, won't you come while we stand and we sing?